See Winona LaDuke. See those films next week at the Hollywood Theater here in Portland. The number to call, 877-500-5266. We just need one more call to make our goal. It can be you. I hope that it will be you. You may have been waiting. Now is the time to do it. Now you have heard us many times over the last few days. Now you can just stop waiting, stop procrastinating, and do it and be a part of your community. Engage in community radio right now and be an owner of this station. 877-500-5266. Show how much you care about the world that we live in, about the future generations, about the fact that we need democracy on the airwaves. We don't want another corporate station to take over 90.7. No, we want KBOO Community Radio to remain strong and robust on the airwaves for another 50 years. 877-500-5266. Again, that number, 877-500-KBOO, is the number to call to support this radio station. We want more KBOO. We know that 80,000 people are listening every week and only about 6,000 are members. So if we could just get everybody to give $10 a month as a membership, boy, what an impact we could have if we had everybody who listened contributing. Call right now, 877-500-5266.
Well, give us a call. Keep this station on the air. It is your station, folks, as long as you want to have it. And the way to make your power felt is contribute your money and your time and effort. You, too, can be part of this wonderful enterprise. 877-500-5266.
If you give a $1,000 membership, you can promote a nonprofit grassroots organization through our co-sponsorship program. And that is a real benefit that KBOO has in our connection to the community and the many, many hundreds of grassroots organizations that have space on the airwaves because KBOO makes that space. And we're not just talking a 10-second or 12-second soundbite like the other stations. Maybe they'll go and they'll give a very quick piece for any group. No, we have in-depth analysis, interviews on a daily basis, and we do that because of your support. 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. Call now.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Cafe 11, located at 435 Northeast Rosa Parks Way, a family-friendly coffee shop in the Woodlawn neighborhood of Northeast Portland. Dinner was provided by Dean Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, and serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Hello, KBOO community. Since 2014, KBOO has used the concept of the beloved community popularized by Martin Luther King Jr. to give us a framework for ensuring that we intentionally create space for dialogue between KBOO community members so KBOO continues to flourish as a space for creative collaboration. A small group of KBOO volunteers and staff are meeting monthly to help ensure that the beloved community work of KBOO's 3-year strategic plan moves forward in a good way and continues to support us in being a better and better community and radio station. Most recently, we drafted a statement on what the term beloved community at KBOO means, and we would love your input by September 30th. Please go to kboo.fm or stop by the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue for a paper copy of the survey. This will take 5 minutes of your time. Your input will help us make sure this statement is the strongest, clearest, and most inspiring and most inclusive statement it can be. Please email del@kboo.org if you have any questions. Thank you.
Time is 2:03 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and remember to support your community radio because that means it's your responsibility at 877-500-5266 and online at kboo.fm/give. I'm going to take you next to Annette Newell's conversation with Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum. That's right here, coming up right now.
Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum joins us today on KBOO. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Absolutely.
Back in July, you helped organize and spoke at an anti-hate event. I was there and listened to you talk about why you're so concerned right now. Why was this event needed?
Right. Thank you for coming to the event, first of all. This was our Zero Tolerance on Hate event that we held at the Muslim Educational Trust. And it was very important to me. First of all, each of us has an important role to play to ensure that simply no Oregonian is targeted because of who they are. And I thought we really sent an important message by having this collaborating with the Muslim community, who obviously have been among those targeted most recently. The horrifying incident that occurred on the MAX train in May. And so that was really directly in response to that. But we had already been planning on having some type of a symposium, an anti-hate symposium, since that was certainly not the first, but it was the most egregious of the incidents that have occurred locally.
Mm-hmm. You say you're concerned about an increase in hate crimes and hate-related activities right now. What are you seeing, basically, that shows this is a major issue we've got to look at and target?
Right. All of the police agencies have noted an increase of hate crime or bias-motivated crimes during this past year. For example, up through April of this year, and of course we're well beyond that now, 9 hate crimes had been reported to the Portland Police Bureau. Hmm. We had seen twice the number of the usual complaints on our hate crimes reporting at the Oregon Department of Justice. The Southern Poverty Law Center noted some horribly large number of incidents of harassment and intimidation occurring just in the first weeks after last November's elections, in particular on school campuses, both K-12 and university campuses. So we've definitely seen a spike. Now, the good news is I actually think there's more reporting than there used to be. So we're not entirely certain that the numbers of actual crimes has gone up as opposed to the reporting. We want there to be reporting of these incidents. There's been too much fear, I think, to actually report, and perhaps not enough knowledge about where to go to report. So one thing that we have done, and I'd like to do on this call that we're having today, is to remind people that they can type in OregonAttorneyGeneral.gov, which will take you to a hyperlink to report a hate crime online to the Oregon Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm. I spoke with a forensic expert today who said that basically what happened to those Good Samaritans who tried to jump in that case to try to help those girls often happens. Somebody tries to stop a hate crime, and they end up getting targeted by violence and put themselves in harm's way and even get killed, and that's not unusual. So what are other alternatives that people can do to actually take action and keep themselves safe, too?
Right. Well, I don't think that there are that many incidents that result in killings as this one did, and I certainly don't in any way blame. In fact, I honor the heroes who came to
Absolutely.
The aid of these young girls. Mm-hmm. That said, there certainly are some ways to try to, sort of reduce the impact of a person who perhaps has mental illness on compounded by the hatefulness that they carry with them. And there are people better than myself to do those kinds of trainings, but there are plenty of them available, and I do hope that people will, be convening those kinds of discussions. It's very important.
And you're concerned about the Trump administration and basically enabling some of these hate groups?
I think the Trump administration, the new administration, has given permission in a way to these groups that have always been out there, but they seem more bold. They seem more, willing to sort of come out of the closet, which in some ways might be a good thing in that we realize that they're there and we can do something about it. We can hold these kinds of convenings and we can push back and we can make it clear that we are not going to tolerate this in our communities. But I would agree, yes, that Mr. Trump himself, just by the way his vitriol and his openness about his views or his unwillingness to make a statement against hate and against neo-Nazis, against white supremacy, whatever his personal views are, he's giving the impression that there, that it's a new day for people of these feelings, of these views, to come forward and to bully those who are different from them. And that's just simply not acceptable.
Have you seen an increase in the activity of the white supremacist groups in Oregon since Trump's been elected?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, all you have to do is look at the signs that have been posted in various places, including on the freeway. The couple of days before the eclipse this summer, there were signs placed. Rather than welcoming visitors, just the opposite. They were anti-Semitic. There are others that are anti-Muslim. There are just all sorts of evidence of the kind of intimidation, the kind of words that are intended to demonstrate that sort of hatefulness.
Mm-hmm. You recently joined other attorney generals to publicly oppose Trump's executive order on immigration. You filed an amicus brief. Tell us about that effort and what's going on with it.
Right. Well, we have been involved from the get-go, from January 27th, when the first travel ban, Muslim ban order came out. We have been joining together, and not only with respect to that matter, but many other matters, the sanctuary cities issue, the DACA issue. State attorneys general are now really the first line of defense when it comes to pushing back against the Trump administration. And with 917 reported hate groups in the United States, with our immigrant communities being fearful that they can't even go to school, that kids can't go to school without fearing that their parents may be gone when they come home. Absolutely, we are joining together on any issue that we can, where we feel that the people of Oregon are being harmed. We are joining together because there's power in numbers. Frankly, our resources are limited. So if I can join together with my colleagues in California, Washington, New York, all over. There are 22 Democratic attorneys general in the country that I work with pretty much on a weekly basis, and I'd welcome the Republican AGs if they'd like to join us.
You're also concerned about elder abuse, and there's an upcoming event that you're involved with. Tell us about that one.
That's right. We now have an annual elder abuse conference that is led by the Oregon Department of Justice. That will be on October 25th, I believe, over in Seaside this year. And I felt that it was so important to push back against this epidemic of elder abuse in our state. You know, frankly, our population is not getting younger. We're actually getting older. There are more of us. And I was so appreciative of our legislature to help fund my criminal elder abuse unit. It turns out that a lot of what we, you know, used to just think of as a problem, maybe financially, is really criminal fraud. And so we're going after the people that are taking advantage of our seniors, who deserve to not only maintain their nest eggs, but to have a good life in their golden years and not to be taken advantage of.
What types of crimes have been targeting seniors lately? Have there been scams that you're concerned about?
There's all kinds of scams and fraud. In fact, we have a robust program of scam jams around the state. We call them scam jams. They're really educational sessions where we try to teach our seniors how to avoid being scammed, how to avoid, the kinds of things that people target vulnerable parts of our population for. So definitely, I think you're probably familiar with the IRS imposter scam. But with seniors, it's often, you know, people who call them up and try to get them to send a wire money in out of fear that someone in their family might be hurt or that they might have a warrant against them to go to jail. Those are the kinds of things that we particularly focus on with seniors. But there's another whole world of family and caretakers, unfortunately, who are not trustworthy, who may have a power of attorney, may have other types of legal documents that allow them to have access to their family members' financial records and their money. And unfortunately, we're finding that there have been some real egregious situations that could even include criminal behavior, and we have taken those people to account.
And this is Linda Olson Osterlund here in Membership Central. You have been listening to KBOO. It's our fall news and public affairs day special as part of our fall membership drive. And you've been listening to a new KBOO reporter, Annette Newell, not new to radio, but new to us. And she's been speaking with Attorney General Rosenblum about hate crimes and other issues affecting us under the Trump era. It's been great programming. And I want to thank Sharon for calling in from Southeast Portland and becoming a new member. She called 503. Oh, no, she didn't. She called 877-500-5266. That's the number that I'm giving you to show you that you can become a member. And I don't know if you've heard it yet today. Maybe you've just tuned in. But every dollar with a new member or an existing member who's increasing their membership will be matched by generous members of the KBOO community. And so that really means double your dollars, double your dollars, double your dollars, and take advantage of this moment if you know or have thought about becoming a member of KBOO because you do love the program. You're really happy that we have such great public affairs programming that you get to hear about books and authors and experts that you're not getting on any of the mainstream news or even on the other air quotes public radio station. So take a moment right now. Dial 877-500-5266. It's the middle of the afternoon. You may be a little drowsy from lunch. It's a perfect time to talk to one of our people here, volunteers. They'll only wake you up gently as they get your information and you become a member or you increase your membership. And I'd like to challenge, I haven't heard from a lot of people just out in our area. Like, I know Hood River's recovering from a really horrible disaster. If you're listening and you feel like you want to become part of this now, you can step out back into the community and make a difference with your dollars in this way. Please give us a call, 877-500-5266. Or maybe you're listening from over towards the coast. Now, the truth is, you could be listening from anywhere without a radio. That's right, with just a computer, because that's where now turns out a majority of our listeners are listening from. So if you're on that computer, you've seen that front page, you've seen that red banner that says donate, because you can't miss it when you go in, when you're logging on from your even your cell phone with the app there that we have, the KBOO app that you can get on your cell phone. You will see that donate button because we're in the middle of our fall membership drive and we need you. You are the people that make a difference. And you make a difference because you appreciate honest, insightful, in-depth public programming, public affairs programming. You want to hear about the hate crimes that are going on in this city and in this state. And what is our government doing about it? And Annette Newell, a new broadcaster, and you won't hear that everywhere. We don't have to go out and hire someone new. People come to volunteer because they appreciate KBOO. So take a moment right now, 877-500-5266, and we'll go back to our interview.
You've been busy in Salem this week. I know the last session you were involved in a lot of laws, new laws getting passed in our state. Are you working on some upcoming legislation?
We're taking just a very, very slight breather here. We did just have several bill signings. I was delighted to that the governor convened a bill signing for our police profiling work that mm-hmm. we've been doing to not only prevent profiling, but to take it to the next level, to engage in data collection, to engage in training of police officers so that we can eradicate the kind of implicit biases that can also lead to the failure to recognize hate crimes, which is how we started this conversation. As for where we're going to be going next, oh my goodness. Well, I know there's talk about even pushing further ahead so that we can ensure that we're bringing anybody to account who is engaging in these types of hate crimes. But honestly, we have pretty good legislation in place. We just need to make sure that we're getting the follow-up. And that's what we did in the profiling area, and we need to do that in the hate crimes area as well. We also had some good success in the area of public records reform, in the area of debt collection, in particular debt buyers, student debt. I'd really like to see us pursue young people and, frankly, their families and even seniors' ability to move on with their lives and not have student debt as the obligation of a lifetime, which is what we're starting to see. There's evidence that young people are waiting an average of 7 years longer than they used to before buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
They're making decisions based upon the fact that they have this debt that they start life out with, essentially, as adults. This wasn't the case when I went to college. It's just not fair. So I'm hoping that we can look at something, for example, that would provide for licensing of debt servicers so that those who are servicing the debt of our people when they graduate, hopefully, from college are responsible, are fair-minded, and are truly helping our people to be able to move on in a productive way with their lives.
I wonder if you had a chance to see Jeff Sessions when he came, the U.S. Attorney General, when he came recently to Portland, and hear his message and what you had to think about that. I know there were some very vocal protests when he showed up here in Portland.
Yeah, I didn't get invited, and I didn't invite myself. I was pretty busy that day. Actually, that was a day that I was at a fraud conference that was put on by the U.S. Attorney's Office. So Billy Williams wasn't at the conference because he was meeting with Mr. Sessions. He's the U.S. Attorney. But no, I wasn't invited. And, you know, I knew what he was going to say. I knew that it was going to be pretty hateful toward the welcoming stance that we take toward the treasured immigrants that live and work in our communities, towards the idea of sanctuary cities and a sanctuary state. So I knew what he was going to say. I posted to Facebook kind of a message to him. I doubt he read it.
What did the message say?
Well, you can look it up on my political Facebook. I think it said something like, let me be clear, Mr. Sessions. Here's what I believe in, and here's what I'm going to do to ensure the safety of our communities. And it's quite a bit different from what you believe in, something to that effect.
Uh-huh. Do you think that the Trump administration could make good on cutting off federal funds or in some way punishing our state for having sanctuary for these people?
Well, it sounds like they're going to try, but they've already failed in Chicago. There was a ruling that actually is effective nationwide at this point because it was a federal judge ruling that that would prohibit that. That said, they're going to probably keep at it, and we will certainly push back in that regard. We believe that we are in compliance with the federal law, which is the law that Mr. Sessions is going around talking about. So long as we're in compliance with that law, I don't really think he has a leg to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and as a matter of fact, that law may be unconstitutional. But let's just say, for the sake of this discussion, that it is legal. We aren't violating that law by the sanctuary state law or the city laws that have been passed thus far.
And he's making the argument that we're making it more unsafe for law enforcement to do its job in our state.
Yeah, well, just the opposite. You know, if you look at who attended and met with him the other day, I believe that there were many, many state and local law enforcement officials who chose not to attend because they don't agree with that. They actually feel that our laws assist in keeping our citizens safe and that we should not be doing the work for the federal government, for the Federal Immigration Service, particularly in situations where there are no crimes that have been proven to have been committed. Keep in mind that immigration laws are not necessarily crimes. If there is a person who has committed a crime and they're asking for assistance and they have evidence that there's a warrant for that individual, that is there's not an issue about whether we will participate. It's where they're asking us to do essentially their civil work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have declined to do that. We simply don't have the resources, nor do we feel that is effective policy in a state where we encourage people to report crimes. We encourage people to go to court, to have a safe place to go to obtain a restraining order, to testify in court against truly bad people. We want those folks, the witnesses, the people who've been harmed, the vulnerable people of our communities, to feel that they can go to school, that they can go to church, they can go to court, and that they're not going to be arrested when they get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're on the topic of Sessions. He announced that the Trump administration is going to rescind the DACA program in 6 months to supposedly give Congress more time to fix the program. Now, I know you joined 13 other attorneys general in filing a federal lawsuit in New York challenging that decision about DACA. Tell us where that stands and why you think that's such an important issue, too.
Right. I think we actually joined even more than 13, and then there's been another lawsuit filed in California by the California Attorney General, along with another three or four attorneys general. So basically all close to all 22 of the Democratic attorneys general have sued on the basis that it is wrong for the president to rescind the DACA order and that we can demonstrate that it is illegal for him to do so. There has been reliance there by our DACA students and those who are no longer students but are working under the work permits. They've provided personal information that was based upon promises that were made to them. And we believe that certainly it was a discretionary matter for the president when President Obama established the program. We would much prefer, of course, to have full-scale congressional action that would ultimately lead to citizenship for these young people who have never known another country, or if they have, they were too young to remember. They don't necessarily speak the language. And if they were to go back, they would simply be in a foreign land to them. So we are moving forward. Of course, if Congress takes action, if the president takes action, we'll be absolutely delighted to withdraw our lawsuit. But at this time, we're moving forward on the litigation front.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned on your website, actually from the Department of Justice website, I'm getting this information, that Oregon is home to more than 11,000 DACA recipients. That's a huge number of people and families this could impact.
Yes, and it will impact many more people than 11,000 when you think about the families. These are, the 11,000 number is simply the number of actual DACA individuals. But each one of those persons has a family. Many of them have children now because they do not, they're not necessarily still even in school. They're working and they're contributing to the community. Some of them are in the military. They are really important members of our community. Some of the young people who spoke at our rally were absolutely the most outstanding speakers and thoughtful individuals I've ever heard speak. Extremely articulate and dedicated to this country. They want to be here for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. I know you're also taking a leading role in this opioid investigation of manufacturers and distributors of prescription opioids. This is something that affects not just our state, but many across the country. Could you describe what's going on with that? I know there's been a lot of opioid abuse and deaths in Oregon.
There has been throughout the country. It is a huge epidemic. I think people are just astonished to hear the statistics about how frequently there is a death related to prescription drug opioid abuse. And you need to, it's important to make that distinction because we're not even necessarily talking about straight out illegal drugs, but we're talking about prescription drugs that either get into the wrong hands or where people don't appreciate the addictive quality of the drug. And so what we are doing is we are looking at the manufacturers of these drugs and the distribution mechanisms for distributing to places where perhaps a lot more drug is being distributed than there are even individuals who could possibly need them. We have been looking at this both from the point of view of potential legislation as well as litigation. You may have heard that Multnomah County has sued something like 23 different entities. We will certainly be speaking with them and potentially coordinating if they are interested in doing so. But I have joined with approximately 40 other attorneys general around the country. We are all looking at this issue because of the number of people in our communities who are being harmed. We need to be able to obtain treatment. There are ways to do that, but it costs money. And these companies ought to be taken to task and ought to be required to provide the funds, to provide the treatment to the people who they may well have contributed to the addiction and the harm.
You're listening to Ellen Rosenblum, the Oregon Attorney General, here on KBOO Community Radio. This is our fall membership drive, and this is News and Public Affairs Day on this Friday, September 22nd. We are asking for your support. Your contributions provide the resources for KBOO to be on the ground each and every day, providing programming like this. Join me, Jenka, and Linda, who are here with thousands of other people who support KBOO each day. Go to KBOO.FM or call us right now at 877-500-5266 to support KBOO Community Radio right now.
And you know that your dollars that you decide to contribute today, and I'm suggesting $10 a month, will be matched. That's right. If that's an increase of your original amount that you give to KBOO, or if you're a new member, it will be doubled all day long. That's community members who are members of KBOO who have said, we want to encourage other people to love the public affairs and to support it with their dollars. And so they are matching you dollar for dollar. The number to call to have your donation doubled, to make a difference twice with your dollar, 877-500-5266. I'm not kidding when I say I always wait for a matching time during the drive so that I can double my dollars, because I'd like to give twice as much as I give. I'd like to give three times as much as I give, because this radio station's important. Right now, you've been listening to Annette Newell, a new reporter to KBOO, but a person who's been in radio for a while, and she's decided that she wants to be part of the KBOO family and do a different kind of interview, the kind that you've been hearing with her and Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum. Really, that's great radio, and it's great volunteer radio, and it depends on you, the community, to exist. We need your dollars every single day, every single minute, every single second. That's what keeps us on the air. Call us now and donate $10 a month. Tell them about the flash drive they can get for that, Kate. We give incentives for these as well.
Sure. If you give $10 a month, that's a contribution to KBOO that makes you a sustaining member, and our sustaining members at that level get an exclusive audio flash drive filled with 4 gigs of KBOO exclusive content. You can load that up onto your device of choice, maybe listen to it while you're driving if you're on a long haul, or maybe while you're biking, you can put it in one headphone only. You got to keep safe, but put it on your device, a mobile device, whatever you load your music onto. You can load your podcast, and you can load this KBOO content as podcasts on that device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Share it with anyone you like. The content includes, I mean, it's just a huge list. You can go to KBOO.FM and see the full list. We've got Ernest Kallenbach, the author of Ecotopia, speaking in 1978 here at KBOO. Ken Kesey talking at Powell's, and Margaret Mead in 1968, Molly Ivins, Bell Hooks. It's Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture speaking in 1973, Eldridge Cleaver. I mean, we've got just the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, the LGBT movements, all of these represented on this audio flash drive. It's a real who's who of history here in the USA. All these people came to Portland, got recorded, got put on KBOO Community Radio, and now those voices can be put in your pocket and carried with you, and you can share them with whoever you like. 877-500-5266. Own a little piece of history right now. 877-500-5266. We have a hefty goal to raise in the next half an hour, and I know that we can do it because we have listeners who just need this reminder, just need us to come on just for a moment and say, oh, KBOO needs you right now, and they're just immediately on it. They're like, oh, yeah, KBOO needs me. I'm going to call.
I'm going to call 877-500-5266, like Sanford from Southeast Portland did. He's a renewing member.
Thanks, Sanford.
You know, we've had some people walking in today, too, and we really, you know, it's turned to be out to be a beautiful day out there. If you're out on your bicycle or you're out driving around and you have a moment or two, stop at 20 Southeast 8th. We're just a half a block, you know, south of Burnside. Big mural on the side of our building. You can't help but see us. And come in and donate that way, or go to kboo.fm. But the reason you want to donate is because you count on having real in-depth public affairs. And we're giving you a whole day of news and public affairs. But you know that every weekday you can have public affairs, and every evening after our music, you can have public affairs shows that are not what you'll hear anywhere else. I promise you that. A lot of the best and the greatest of the authors we have on and the speakers we have on no longer get heard on regular radio, no longer even get heard on, you know, on that other public radio station. So support the station that really is meaningful to you. And I say that's KBOO.FM. Well, that's KBOO. Call us at 877-5500. 800-500-5266. Make a difference with your dollars.
And you think about the depth of analysis that you get, the kind of questions that Annette is asking to Ellen Rosenblum. They're not the hard-hitting, in-depth questions that you get on other stations that maybe are not going to hold our public officials accountable in the way that KBOO does. We have an anonymous donor that's part of our match today that says, as a retired public school teacher, I support KBOO because they promote democracy. Kathy says, KBOO is vital to our community. The variety of music and news is the best. Great place to start my day. Thank you. Well, thank you, Kathy, and thank you to all of our amazing KBOO members that are coming together today and matching their donation. $10 a month. That could be matched, and KBOO will get $20. Do call now and make that pledge. 877-500-5266. In addition, you will be entered to win tickets to the premier film festival, the Eco Film Festival. 10 pairs of tickets can be yours, and that will be a big party for you and your friends seeing all of those amazing
films.
You get entered. Any amount, whatever you're able to give, that will allow you to be entered. You choose the amount. Well, the important thing is that you do call. KBOO.FM is online, and the number, if you are going to call, and we urge you to do so right now, 877-500-5266.
Do you think this might end up being along the lines of the tobacco settlement, where the companies, there will be evidence that they knew that their product was addictive and that it had these adverse health implications and effects on people, and eventually will be held accountable?
I'm just going to say certainly that there is that potential. We are looking at it in a big picture way, as I believe my predecessors did with tobacco, but I also think there's some pretty important distinctions. But we'll report back on that as we move along. We're still at fairly much at the early stages of evidence gathering.
But Oregon was the first state to reach a settlement with INSA. So in a way, that's one of the companies that manufactures an opioid.
Right.
And so in a way, we've kind of set the bar or led the country on this in that sense.
We have not yet, not only INSA. I have an amazing team at the Oregon Department of Justice. Oregonians should be very proud of David Hart and others at the Department of Justice who have been way ahead and led the way on pharmaceutical fraud cases generally. That happens to be one that we handled initially on our own and got a really excellent settlement. And we were able to then leverage that settlement into monies for programs in Oregon that are ongoing, at least five or six different programs that involve the communities all over the state working on ways to eliminate this problem.
Mm-hmm. Another important right that you're standing up for is the right of voters. I understand you've joined other attorney generals in filing a brief with the Supreme Court in support of voters in the Wisconsin case about redistricting
right.
and how that can unfairly dilute the power of voters. And tell us about that effort.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my office led what's known as an amicus brief. Some say amicus. It's basically a friend of the court brief.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brief that we filed in the United States Supreme Court in conjunction with the Wisconsin case. And basically what it's about, and we do have, I think, 17 other attorneys general offices joined us. So what we are arguing is that partisan gerrymandering is not proper under the Constitution, and that is basically where we're headed with that, and we hope to prevail, because there's, you know, sometimes people wonder how could that person have gotten elected in that state, and a lot of times it has to do with just the districting, the way either the legislature or perhaps some commission or whatever the mechanism is has set up the districts for the elections in that state. And that actually has been more true in other states than in Oregon. I think we've actually done a pretty good job here. But that was all the more reason, I think, for us to take the lead in this case to demonstrate that extreme partisan gerrymandering is just not right.
And sometimes it dilutes the power of minority groups in particular.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we made those arguments, and they are on file with the Supreme Court. I hope they'll read them. There are a number of different amicus briefs, as you can imagine, filed in that case. But we were joining in. It was actually a common cause plaintiff in that case in Wisconsin.
And tell me a little bit about, I know you were the first female attorney general to serve our state, so congratulations, of course, for that. And
thank you.
Tell us a little bit about what message you would like to give to women and girls, especially young girls who might be thinking about pursuing a career similar to yours.
Well, I say you go, girl. you know, I'm really honored to be the first, but it doesn't, as Betty Roberts, my dear mentor, who was the first woman on the Oregon Supreme Court and was just an amazing person, wrote a book called By Grit and By Grace. I would say it's going to take a lot of grit, but it also takes the grace to just keep pushing because we're getting there. You know, being the first is great, but you don't want to be the last. You want to do a really great job in these roles. And so I say to girls, work hard, you know, aim for the stars, but also, you know, be realistic and pace yourself. You don't have to, you know, be anything, you know, by the age of 20, but maybe by the time you're 30, you can work towards your first office if you want to run for office. And maybe by the time you're, you know, 40, you can be attorney general. And then you would have been attorney general 20 years before I was, which would be really cool because then who knows what you get to do after that.
Yeah, our country came very close to electing its first female president not too long ago.
Right.
And actually, if you look at the vote count, she did win the popular vote by millions of votes. And that being the case, do you think it's finally the time where a woman could be elected? Hillary Clinton's new book was saying that she said in the book she didn't believe that we're quite there yet. Do you agree with that?
Well, we obviously weren't there yet with her, but I think we are there in terms of the future. There's many, many women who are highly qualified. We now know, first of all, you don't have to be as qualified as we thought to be president, but there are many women, I think, in the pipeline. We need to continue to develop that pipeline because you don't just become president overnight. And I think now that Secretary Clinton is probably not a candidate in the future for president, I think it kind of opens things up for lots of other really talented, marvelous women, whether they're currently serving in the Senate, whether they're governors, or whether they just kind of pop out from private business or some other place. But we do need to be supportive. Women have to learn that there's a role that we all have to play. We have to be willing to contribute funds. We have to be willing to you know, really take a strong position that women are absolutely in the game. And I'm co-leading an initiative of Democratic Women Attorneys General to increase our numbers by 2022. We now are only five. There's only five Democratic women AGs in the country, and we're striving to more than double that within 5 years. And I have no doubt we can do that.
Do you think it is still a tougher career track for a woman, though, to be in politics and be successful as you've been?
No, I actually don't really think so. I think if you look, at least in Oregon, if you look at our city councils, our county commissions, our state government, our federal positions, we're getting there. We still have a ways to go federally. We have our wonderful Congresswoman, Suzanne Bonamici. But no, I think we're actually well on our way to demonstrating that women can do anything, and there will be a woman president in the not-too-distant future. I'm confident about that.
Are there certain women that you think might be possible candidates in the pipeline that you can look at right now?
For president?
Yes.
Or for attorney general?
Well, for either.
I could. But I would not want to, you know, on short notice like this, I would not want to exclude anyone. I will say that there's several women who were state attorneys general very recently who are now in the United States Senate. You can see there's a pipeline there.
Right.
One is Kamala Harris, who is a senator now from California. She was just the immediate past attorney general. And another is Catherine Cortez Masto from Nevada, the first Latina woman to, I believe, be elected to the Senate. Certainly from Nevada, but I believe maybe overall. They're both just incredible women, so I would definitely look at both of them potentially. There are several other women senators. As you know, we have two women governors mm-hmm. who are Democrats. There certainly we should keep our eye on them. So it's important to demonstrate that you've been a leader, that you've been able to maybe overcome some odds when it comes to the gender issues. But I just have no doubt but that we are going to be there soon. I know it was really disappointing to women and to girls in particular. I was, you know, at the Hilton Hotel the night that Hillary lost the election, and I could mm-hmm. see just the downtrodden look on young girls who had been brought by their parents mm-hmm. to the mm-hmm. celebration. Everybody thought she was going to win. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that what we've seen since the election is kind of a newfound energy, a newfound activism, a newfound pride, more women, more young people are looking at running for office than ever before. And so it's just a matter of getting there. I think, I can't say for sure it's going to be the next election, but I hope so. I think there's a really good chance of it.
Mm-hmm. And all the issues that we've been talking about, the rights of women, the right to vote, the anti-hate crimes efforts.
Good afternoon. This is Linda, and I'm here with Jenka. We are in Membership Center. This is the fall membership drive of KBOO. You've been listening to Annette interview our Attorney General Rosenblum, far-ranging interview that started with mainly about the hate crimes, but it's also gone into the role of women in politics. Can women win? What things, offices should they run from? You're getting a lot of good information and a really in-depth interview with the Attorney General that I don't believe you've heard anywhere else. This is important programming, and we count on you to support that programming because, yes, that's right, we're a public community radio station. We rely on 80% of our, for 80% of our goal relies on you, the member. The member pays that. So the number to call is 877-500-5266. We've got all sorts of great gifts for you, and your dollar will be matched dollar for dollar. Call in and make a difference with that dollar right now.
You know, this is really cool moment in community radio. We've got News and Public Affairs Day going on. We have Ellen Rosenblum on the line. Then in the next room, I just saw Lou Fredericks, a state representative, being interviewed. This is community radio at its finest. I mean, these are volunteers that are doing these interviews and really having such an impact, even more than some of the paid journalists that you hear on the commercial radio stations that don't ask the hard-hitting questions that our reporters do and don't really go into depth with state politics to the level that we do. Really, when you think about it, the state reporters have been cut from the local newspapers. There is very little reporting on state politics, and yet this is an issue that has such an impact on our lives. It's so important that KBOO does this work. Right now, there is an unprecedented attack on journalism in this country. President Trump has called the free press, quote, the enemy of the people, and his attorney general is threatening to subpoena journalists if and when they publish leaked material. How bad is this situation in a historical context? Pretty bad, but KBOO is here to be the antidote to all of that. KBOO is a community effort where volunteers come together and make investigative journalism happen. Support that right now with your $10 a month contribution. We'll be happy to give you this USB drive filled with awesome audio content, and you will be a member and owner of this radio station. Please make that commitment right now and call 877-500-5266 or go online kboo.fm. Very easy to give there. You can also get the USB drive there. We depend on you to keep our community strong. We're trying to raise $550 in the next 13 minutes. So we need your support to do that. If we have just a few of you giving that $10 a month contribution, or maybe we have somebody who can call in a $550 contribution and be the hero for this hour right now. 877-500-5266. Support this participatory approach to media right now.
That's right. And speak about participatory. Richard from Eugene just walked in and became a returning member. Thank you, Richard. We like you.
We love you. We love you.
I'm talking to you like I talk to my dog. Yes, I really do. I know it's sad, but we really appreciate you out there. You are what makes the difference, because this radio station doesn't go without your dollars. without your energy, without your caring about what we bring on the air, like today's public affairs news and public affairs day. We really do need you. The phone is easy to use, 877-500-5266. You can call us from anywhere in the United States on that number. You can go to kboo.fm and become a member anywhere from the world. Let's do that now.
All the issues that we've been talking about, the rights of women, the right to vote, the anti-hate crimes efforts, what are some of the things that people can do if they hear about these issues and they want to get involved personally? What are the best ways that they can get involved?
Well, what I've seen is just a lot of groups organizing since the Women's March in particular. I've been invited to speak at a number of them that I didn't even know existed. One, for example, is called Indivisible. Mm-hmm. Others are neighborhood groups that are popping up. I would say your party organization, in my case, it would be the Democratic Party, getting involved even at the precinct level, going out working for women and other progressive candidates. Hey, there's a lot of really great men out there too. And mm-hmm. we need to just help wherever we can. If we are feeling reasonably comfortable in Oregon, then we should send people next door to the other state that needs our help. Whether it's Kansas or whether it's, California or whatever it is, we should make sure that we are on top of it, because we have to have them. As a Democrat, I believe that it is critical for us to have majorities at the national level in order to get the work done. And in addition to the redistricting issues, it's just simply going to be a matter of working our tails off to elect the people who are truly going to make a difference. In Oregon, we have a fantastic program called Emerge for women who are thinking of running for office. So anyone listening to this mm-hmm. who's female, who's progressive, who wants to run for office, you ought to apply so that you can kind of take the classes and really learn how to be a candidate. You don't have to run immediately, mm-hmm. but it's very, very valuable.
Yeah.
Emerge is a national program that I think exists not in all states, but in quite a few.
So it's so important to get women a seat at the table. I think we really saw that with the Affordable Care Act, the efforts to repeal it. There were no women involved on the Republican side in that committee that came up with this plan. And
there was not
a single female lawmaker involved in that. And of course, this is going to affect women immensely. And it's also going to affect Oregon disproportionately financially, and other progressive states are going to lose more money if this thing passes. Senator McCain came out against it today, so that maybe lessens the chances of it passing, but there is still a chance. Is there any legal avenue to pursue to stop that from happening?
Well, certainly, if it does happen, there are many legal avenues to pursue, one of which, of course, relates to the defunding of programs that protect women's reproductive freedoms. And that's an area that I can assure you that mm-hmm. my office is already actively engaged in. The most obvious one is if Planned Parenthood is defunded, we will most definitely pursue legal action. So it may depend in part upon exactly what passes and which programs are affected as to what approach we would take in terms of legal action. As far as preventing it from passing, I'm not sure that I have any authority or
right.
control there. But I am impressed that it looks like those who are, in the role of perhaps having more of that ability than I am, are pointing out that this may actually be the worst of the three that have already been presented and failed.
Right. The Cancer Society, the Heart Association, basically every major group of doctors, of medical providers, patients, advocacy groups,
right.
they're all saying this is awful legislation. Why are you even considering it? And yet it's still on the table.
Yeah. Well, I'm with Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know if you had a chance to watch.
I have. Yes.
He has a much bigger audience than I do. And, if it passes, which I really sincerely hope it does not, because I think it is really bad for the American people, and that it is a major step backwards, especially for our state, where we've been so out ahead on health care and on ways to serve people most efficiently and most cost effectively. So we will do. We will definitely be there. We will be at the table on the litigation side, because there are lots of ways in which we believe that such changes would be unlawful.
And it could really damage, especially the underserved people, people in nursing homes, for example.
Right.
Who you would think need more protection, but actually this, the way I understand it, it could actually take away the funding that a lot of these folks are relying on for their care.
It's very counterproductive, absolutely.
The most
we
vulnerable.
Already, we already are stretched so thin in terms of being able to care for our elderly.
Uh-huh. Okay, do you have any other upcoming events you'd like to talk about and promote?
Oh my gosh, well, I'm going to officiate at a wedding of my communications director in a minute here, so I need to get going.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, congratulations. That's great.
Yes, thank you. I'll thank you on her behalf. One of the things we have coming up is our public law conference. One of the things we do very well is represent state government. We're the lawyer for the state, so I'm really proud that we're continuing to do a lot of work making sure that our client, the state of Oregon, and the various agencies that we represent are well served. So that's a big part of what I do. We are just, going along, hopefully, with, you mentioned the upcoming session. That'll be a short session next year, so we don't have as large a role, but we will be continuing our work in the area of public records reform. We've been asked to participate to ensure that the 500 some odd exemptions in the law, which actually prevent full transparency, are examined. We will be taking the lead on that. There's just lots of things that we're going to be doing in addition to the work that we do every day. This morning I met with our child support division, which is actually our largest division. We collect $1 million a day on behalf of families and children in Oregon to in child support, to ensure that our kids are well cared for, ready for school, properly clothed and fed. So there's just a whole ton going on, and I really appreciate your interest in the work that the Oregon Department of Justice does. And I'll keep working with my colleagues at the national level to push back against whatever comes out of Washington that we think is damaging to the people of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a member of SPJ, full disclosure, I'm a member of the Society of Professional Journalists, so I'm really familiar with your work in terms of the public records law. So we thank you for that, because journalists have been trying really hard to open up those public records laws in Oregon, and it had been a struggle, but I know you worked really hard to get that done.
We made some good progress this past session. I was really proud of our team, of our task force, so we're just going to keep at it. We're plugging along.
Okay, thank you so much.
I believe in full transparency.
Yeah.
Thank you, Annette. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for taking the time with us today. Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum joining us today on KBOO. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You're listening to Ellen Rosenblum on KBOO's News and Public Affairs Day. This is an all-day special where we are bringing you the best in interviews, speeches, and other public affairs topics. Next up, we're going to have the Hollywood Murders, the special program that Tom Flynn, a local volunteer reporter here at KBOO, put together over the past several months about the MAX train, the horrific incidents and what led up to that and what's been the aftermath. And here we are at KBOO Community Radio, providing a space for community reporters to really thrive. Volunteer reporters are putting together this day of programming, and we urge you to support at the $10 a month level. That is a way that you can support on a sustaining membership for KBOO, and you can help with the KBOO project of organizing people, changing hearts and minds, one listener at a time. We've only got 3 minutes left to raise $500. I know that we can do that. We need you to call, though. We need you to step up and say yes to community radio, say yes to news and public affairs programming that really goes in depth on the issues that matter to you in a time when it's very, very essential that we have a democratic, open, free airwaves like we do here at KBOO Community Radio. 877-500-KBOO. 5266 is the number to call in the next 3 minutes, 877-500-5266. My name is Jenk. I'm here with Linda, urging you to call right now.
You can become a member on the internet as well at kboo.fm. It's on the red banner at the top. It says donate. You just click on it. It takes just a few minutes, really. It probably takes longer for me to get my credit card out of my wallet than it does to fill out the forms and get registered to become a member of KBOO at kboo.fm. I want to suggest a $10 a month value also, because we've been talking about this audio flash drive of archive materials, wonderful audio that you would want to hear. But I want to tell you something else exciting that's on that flash drive for you. If you've been thinking, I wonder if I should get my email encrypted. I'm wondering if I should encrypt my communications, because I don't like the idea of the government or really anybody else, Equifax, anybody looking into what I'm having to say. Well, guess what? On this flash drive, there is an internet security toolkit. It will take you through everything you need to do to have internet security on your computer. It just takes 1 minute to get that going for you by calling 877-500-5266. It's kind of a sleepy afternoon. We've been sliding a little bit back from our goal, but you can help us make that. We've only got like 2 minutes
left. We've got a minute left, and we've got $405 to go. So be the hero right now. Could you be a $405 contributor, or maybe any amount that you can give, really? It is all adding up to the goal for our drive, $105,000. We're more than halfway there. We want to thank Victoria from Beaverton, a renewing member. We are getting so close. We need your call right now to get us there, and you will be have your donation doubled, matched dollar for dollar during this news and PA special, and you will win. You will be entered to win. You may win ten pairs of tickets to the Eco Film Festival, and you can take a loved one, go and see a number of films, including Winona LaDuke's new film, The First Daughter and the Black Snake, that's coming up next Thursday. You can see that as your thank you. Call 877-500-5266.
You are grassroots supporters. And then give the dollars, and you also get this flash drive or many other great gifts, you know, KBOO t-shirts, all sorts of wonderful things. You can. We have people sitting here just wanting to talk to you about what you would like for your support of KBOO, but really what you get is the best radio you're going to get anywhere in the nation, as far as I'm concerned. The very best radio for public affairs and news, and the best for the variety of music. It's all at your fingertips. KBOO.fm. If you'd like to make that contribution online, $10 a month, $20 a month. You know, if we really need a hero, you could do the whole 500. 877-500-5266.
400. We're down to 400. We're almost there. Woo! Come on, people. $400. That's just four of you doing that $10 a month. Can you do that? $10 a month for KBOO. 877-500-5266.
The time is 3:00. You are listening to KBOO Portland, a special News and Public Affairs Day membership drive. Up next is a special investigation feature by reporter Tom Flynn.